Now, the second function, that's the first function of mythology, to evoke in the individual a sense of affirmative awe before the monstrous mystery that is existence with gratitude. The second function is to present an image of the cosmos, an image of the universe round about, that will maintain and elicit this experience. This we may call the cosmological function of mythology. The question of truth doesn't matter here. Actually, when one studies the mythologies and the things that people have lived on, Nietzsche says it. The worst thing, the worst point you could bring up to a person of faith is truth. Is it true? Who cares? In the sphere of mythological imagery, the point is, I like it this way. This is the source of my life. Bring up to a clergyman the question of the actual cosmological authenticity of his archaic image of the universe, his archaic notion of the history of the world. Who are you, pride of intellect, to question this wonderful thing that's been the source of all my life? People live by playing a game, and you can ruin a game by being Sir Sobersides, who comes in and says, well, what's the use of this? A cosmological image which will give you a field in which to play the game that helps you to reconcile your life, your existence, to your own consciousness of or expectation of meaning is about what a mythology has to offer, and this is what a religion has to offer. First function of mythology is to elicit this experience of awe. The second is to present an image of the cosmos that will maintain this intact and explain everything that you are becoming aware of in your becoming aware of the universe. The third function of a mythological order is to validate and maintain a certain sociological system, a notion of rights and wrongs, proprieties and improprieties, on which your particular social unit depends for its existence. These, in the traditional societies, these notions of order and law are held in the frame of the cosmological order. They are of the same essential nature. For example, in the biblical tradition, where it is thought that a personal deity created the universe, that same personal deity announced the social laws to Moses on Mount Sinai, so that the social laws of this holy society have the same authenticity as the laws of the universe. And you can't say, oh gosh, I don't like it that the sun rises so early in the springtime and summertime. I'd rather have it arise late. Nor can you say, oh, I don't like it that one cannot eat meat and milk at the same meal. These laws come down from the same source. They are apodictic. They cannot be denied. The social orders of a traditional, mythologically based society are as authentic and as uncriticizable as the laws of the universe itself. In the Orient, in India and the Far East, where you don't have the idea of a creation by a personal divinity, but the idea of an impersonal cosmic order, the order of the castes, the order of the different modes of even courtly life are thought to be as inevitable as the laws of the rising and setting of the sun, or of the species of the animals.